Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk about all your favorite issues and publishers. And thank you so much for your patience with me as of late. Like I said, we were juggling a little bit of sickness, but we are feeling better, and I think we should be back on schedule very, very soon. So thank you again for your patience with all that. So we're going to start talking about our comic books for the week. As we do, of course, you guys know, when we start talking about comics, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom, and Boom Studios is the first publisher we're going to talk about today. I got a couple Boom books, two, in fact, in this case. First of all, a number one, Uncanny Valley, number one. This one, of course, is written by Tony Fleeks, art by Dave Wachter, letter by Pat Brosseau. This is a really cool story, and I think the thing that's just really amazing about it, obviously, is there's a variety of art styles that are going to be featured in the story, and you kind of get an idea why. I'll give a quick spoiler light idea of what's happening. A young man who isn't sure who his family is beyond his mother. It's like about a finding his identity and finding that he's connected to a truly unusual world, potentially, specifically a world of cartoons. I love the art. I think it's really great. I think Tony is actually a really, really good person to tell this story. I think it's going to really be right in his wheelhouse. And I love the beginning. I think it's really good. I think we start on a really interesting note. And a lot happens in the first issue. So it really hits like 100 miles per hour and doesn't really stop. So very good book. Big thumbs up. Definitely going to be a pickup for me from here on. And my other Boom book is House of Slaughter 22. Oh my gosh, it's getting real, guys. So House of Slaughter 22, of course, series development by James Tynion IV, written by Tate Bromble, illustrated by Antonio Fuso, colored by Mikhail Muerto, and lettered by And World Design. Jace is striking back against his enemies, against the House of Butcher, and by extension, the House of Slaughter, because there is a sort of team-up going on. And there's a really cool twist. Again, this book, I'm always trying to light on spoilers because there's a really cool twist that you should check out. But man, I really like this, and I love Jace so much, and I'm vaguely worried that something's going to happen to Jace, and I really hope it doesn't, because I mean, we don't have Aaron anymore. So Jace is really, really cool, and I like them both, and I need some memory of the two of them. Hopefully, at one point, Jace and Erica find each other. That'd be a really cool story as well, so... but once again, House of Slaughter, just as good as it always is. One of the best books on the shelf, always worth a pickup. And yeah, very, very, very cool. All right, we're going to move on to our next publisher. In this case, that is going to be IDW. I got an IDW book this week. It's a big one. It's a one-shot. Dungeons & Dragons, The Thief of Many Things. Written by Ellen Boner. Art by Eduardo Mello. Colors by Joanna Lafuente. Lettering by Amaro Osorio, and story consultant by Jumzub, which I loved. It was supposed to be Jim, I'm assuming, but they in the credits they misspelled Jumzub. So I love that. I hope that's like an NPC that he adds to one of his home campaigns. So this is a big book. It's huge. And it is a $10 once a $9.99, but this is like one of my favorite self-contained D&D stories. Like, I've read in a long time, and I used to read all the novels. I loved the novels. Even back in 3.5, there were these great novel series called, like, The Rogues, and it was four stories about four different rogues that were really cool. But this one has a really great, like, protagonist and a really good twist, and it's obviously tied directly to The Deck of Many Things, which is, you know, the newest book. And I understand why that makes sense for marketing purposes, but I think it's a really good story. I think I really enjoy it. And it's a character that I would like to see more of in future, you know, installments of D&D if they're going to do something with it. Like, D&D, Wizards of the Coast, I should say, with D&D, has an underrated cast of characters under their ownership that they could really be doing more with. Between, you know, all the different, like I'm a big fan of Acquisitions Incorporated. I love all those characters for that role play. Everything in the comics that's been coming out. The Baldur's Gate characters. And then if you're a super nerd like me and you like all the original Forgotten Realms characters, like your Elminsters and stuff, there's just a lot of potential out there. And this is just yet another great addition to that pantheon. So big thumbs up for me. Always definitely worth a pickup. Loved it. All right, we're switching publishers to Dynamite. And I got a couple Dynamite books this week. First of all, Thundercats, number 3. This one's written by Declan Shalvey, art by Drew Moss, color by Martina Pignadoli, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. Obviously, this is the third issue of the Gargoyle story. And it's really cool to kind of check in with, Thundercats. I said Gargoyles. It's cool to check in with the Thundercats, you know, at kind of the beginning of their story and seeing them kind of bond as a group and kind of get an idea of like who they are. Again, I've not made a secret of it. I wasn't a Thundercats kid. So this is kind of me exploring that world. And I really like what I see. I like these characters a lot. This one definitely featured an interesting conflict in them and kind of gives me a different perspective of what I thought Thundercats were like. I didn't anticipate them to be so warlike and stuff. So I like it. I think it was really cool. And yeah, if you're a Thundercats kid, this is definitely something for you. After that is Disney's Hercules number 1. Coming out of the Hades book, we now have a Hercules one. Written by Elliot Kalan, art by George Kambadeyas, color by Julia Giacomindo and Simona Guida, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. This is presumably taking place after the Hercules movie. Yeah, of course it is. Duh, that makes sense. And it's kind of centered around the fact that Hercules wants to stay mortal, wants to stay on the planet with Meg. And Zeus is like, just come to Olympus, come hang out with us. And a plot is afoot, I believe. And I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was really cool. I like that it's a Hercules story where at least it doesn't appear that Hades is going to be the antagonist in any major way. I think that's interesting. I'd like to see this character bounce off other enemies. So really cool. Very good stuff. So yeah, that's the 2 Dynamite books that I got this week. So that takes me to my next publisher, which is going to be Vault Comics. I got the 1 Vault book this week, which is Unnatural Order number 4. Written by Christopher Yost, art by Val Rodriguez, color by Diabella Kelly, and letter by Anwell Design. This is the finale. Kinda. So we have another volume coming. And this is my favorite issue of the series so far. I've liked it. I really enjoyed it. I loved the aesthetic. I loved the main character. I liked the idea of it. And it was something that definitely appealed to me. But I think this issue is when the arc and the stories and everything kind of clicked with me. And I started to be like, okay, I get where we're going. This is really cool. It becomes more of an ensemble cast at a certain point. And I really appreciated that because I really like the characters and I like the character choices. And I really like the concept, the world changing concept and the shades of gray, if you will. You know, it's very interesting, very deep. Definitely recommend picking it up. It's only 4 issue volume and pick it up before volume 2 comes out so you can catch up with me and we can talk about it. So, yeah, big thumbs up for Unnatural Order from Vault. And I can't wait for volume 2. So. Next up is Image Comics. And I got a couple Image Comics this week. Not too many. I Hate Fairyland, number 13. Created and written by Scotty Young. Drawn by Brett Bean. Colored by Jean-Francois Bellu. And letters, logos, and series design by Nate Picos of Blambot. I do like how we're kind of doing like little one-shots for Gert right now. Not the big arc that we had at the beginning of the series. This one is about Gert selling her rights to Hollywood. And it goes predictably, as you might imagine. Obviously, there is a healthy dose of cynicism in this, which is well-deserved because Hollywood is just garbage right now. And I think it's really fun. It's a really great. I do like, again, having these one-shot issues that we can just have fun with and not have to worry about, you know, too much continuity. But yeah, very good. I always like a good I Hate Fairyland story. So, yeah. After that is The Cabinet, number 3, written and writing and story by David Ebeltoft, writing, lettering, and designing by Jordan Hart, pencils, inks, and colors by Chiara Romandi. I like this, and I do love how this book specifically, for those who don't remember, this is the multidimensional scavenger hunt that is really a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. But one thing I really like about this book is the way the cast is building issue to issue. We really start with just 2 people in the first issue. Then we meet another important character in the second. Now we're meeting 2 more in this one. And I really like that. I like that theory of story craft. I think it it doesn't overwhelm you at first and gives you a chance to each issue to be about that character and to get to know them. So very cool. Surprise book for me, because I honestly didn't know anything about it when it came out. I just saw it on the wall and I buy everything. So I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. And it's been really, really good. It's been one of my highlights from Image. And my final Image book of the week is Transformers number 7, written by Daniel Warren Johnson, art by Jorge Corona, colored by Mike Spicer, and letters by Russ Wooten. Yeah, after the big battle and after the big sacrifice of the last issue, the Autobots have a chance to kind of celebrate their victory, but not much one. In the meantime, the Decepticons have a bit of a power struggle on their end, and that leads to a change in leadership. And I really like it. I think it's really cool. I like the dark side that's shown with the new leader. I'm not spoiling it. You'll have to read it. But really, really cool. And I just like this looming Megatron is out there problem that's hanging over everything that no one's talking about. I think that's really cool. So loving this. I love everything in the Energon universe right now. So big ups from me. Definitely pick it up. And yeah, really, really great. So next up, we're going to talk about DC. So, got a couple DC books this week. Let's start with The Green Lantern number 10. This one is so cool because it's like, I like how we've opened up this story from where it was Hal is stuck on Earth, he's quarantined on Earth, and now we finally get to get him back in space and we get kind of an idea of like why. Should do the credits real quick. Written by Jeremy Adams, art by Zermanico and Amanke Nahopan, colors by Romulo Fardo Jr. and letter by Dave Sharp. And we get to see some familiar faces that I was so happy to see, like Sojourner and Jessica. I love both those characters a lot. We also get to see Simon, which is great, and Teen Lantern. So lots of really great stuff here. And we're kind of building an idea of like what happened to the Lantern Corps and how Hal might be the only person that could really redeem it. But good story, something I really enjoy. So big thumbs up if you're a Green Lantern fan, especially. All right. And next up is Speed Force number 6. And believe it or not, this is Keith's book of the week. I have made it no secret that I've actually really enjoyed Speed Force, considering I didn't know that the book was happening until it was on the wall. And I was like, I don't know what Speed Force is. And I remember thinking, I need to buy less comics. I need to save money. And I looked over and I was like, it's got Wallace in it. Screw it. I'll give it a shot. I'm so glad I did, because this has been one of my DC highlights of the year. Written by Jarrett Williams, art by George Kambadeyas and Tom Derenick, color by Lee Luffridge, and letter by Justin Birch from Anworld. This 6-issue mini, first of all, Wallace is a great character. I really like his addition to the Flash family, but he does get overshadowed sometimes. So giving him a spotlight in this issue, great. Avery is like a revelation for me, because Avery's not a character that was on my radar at all, because I didn't read DC for a while. I kind of gave up on DC and didn't really like it. And that was kind of when Avery really was introduced. And just seeing that, I was like, oh, this is really, really cool. And just the rest of the supporting cast. I'm a big Jaime fan. I really like Teen Titans Academy. So seeing those characters pop up and being someone that also has a music podcast, just having this story about being a music, you know, platform is great. I think it's a lot of fun. I think the main thing about this book is it's a great, concise story. It's so much fun with real tension and really great, wholesome story in the end. Like, it ended up being really nice and wholesome. And also, I got to talk about the art. I said this for the past 2 years. George Kambadeyas is one of my favorite artists in comics right now, and I don't hear anybody talking about him. And I really, really like the art. Tom Derenick also did some of the art as well, and I'm a big fan of his as well. But I'm just specifically highlighting George because I can tell where it's George, and I love his style. And yeah, just give this man more stuff. I really want to see more from him. But yeah, that's my book of the week. Speed Force number 6, and I hope it's not the last time we see them. Next up is Suicide Squad Dream Team number 2 of 4. So I was originally bullish on this book. Obviously, anyone who listens to the show knows I'm not a big fan of Amanda Waller and the Suicide Squad. It's just not characters I give a crap about. I used to, back when the era of Secret Six with Gail Simone. I loved that era. That was really cool. But I don't know. I just haven't cared lately. And it's one of the few DC books I just don't usually get. But this book, with the addition of Dreamer, is something I have to pick up because that's who I am. Written by Nicole Maines, penciled by Eddie Barrows, inked by Eber Ferrara, colored by Adriana Lucas, and lettered by Becca Carey. Now, that being said, I'm actually enjoying this issue. I'm enjoying the series. It's really good. I love what Nicole's doing with it, and I love seeing Nicole get her hands on other characters other than Dreamer and her immediate characters. I think she does a wonderful job of it, and it does make me care about the Suicide Squad a bit. It doesn't hurt that the choices for this Suicide Squad were pretty great. I'm a big Clock King fan, for instance. I think he's ridiculous and being in here. I do like the redeemed Harley being a part of it, because I never really liked Harley Quinn, but I like redeemed Harley. I like Harley who's working her stuff out. I think that's really cool, and continuing that in here is a really, really great angle to take. And yeah, it also is going to tie directly into the big event that's coming with Waller. We all see it coming over the horizon. And I think this is the necessary reading if you want to understand that. And this book is doing a good job of setting me up for that. So yeah, really, really cool. I also want to say I love how much Amanda Waller gets one over on every hero and every villain. But Dreamer seems to have her number. I really appreciate that because I love Dreamer. Just so great. After that is Sinister Sons number 3. This one is Story in Words by Peter J. Tomasi, art by Vasco Georgiev, color by Tamarbone Villain, and letter by Rob Lay. I really like this. It's a fun book. It does seem like it's going to be tying into the crossover, the House of Brainiac crossover, which is wild to me. I didn't think it would, but it's going to tie in, like, maybe briefly is what I gathered. But this one's really great. It's the two boys, and they meet up. New companion who's a fully grown man, and they get swallowed by a space whale, and it's just, I just love the wackiness of this with the intensity of them being, you know, two essentially super villains who absolutely don't like each other but also kind of like each other. It's a great dynamic, and just get into Misadventures. I think it's a lot of fun. It's not too heavy, and it's a really great counterpart to the Super Sons. So good stuff. After that is Action Comics 1064. Oh my God, guys. Okay. So, ever since the dawn of DC, I have absolutely adored the Superman books. I've loved them. I thought they're so good. I wasn't the biggest fan of the recent three-part with Bizarro, just because I have specific feelings about Bizarro, that how I want him to be portrayed. It wasn't really what I was looking for. I thought it was well done. It just wasn't for me. Now we get the first part of House of Brainiac, and let's do the creative team. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Rafa Sandoval, color by Alejandro Sanchez, lettered by Dave Sharp. This is so good, and it's going to launch into something amazing. This is going to be one of the best crossovers of the year. It might be the best crossover of the year. I love the concept of it. I love the cast because, spoiler alert, just in the first three pages, we are introduced to Lois Lane, Connor Kent, the Super Twins, Kong Keenan, Kara Zor-El, Lana Lang, Natasha Irons, Steel, Perry White, Ron Troop, and then Metallo, Parasite, Livewire, and then, of course, if I go four pages, we get Jimmy Olsen. And probably my favorite thing about the dawn of DC is Silver Banshee being kind of redeemed and becoming Jimmy Olsen's girlfriend. I love that, and I hope that lasts forever, by the way. But this massive cast, and they serve a purpose in the story. You'll figure that out when you read it. But this is, I cannot stress this enough. Get in on the ground floor of something very special by picking up this book. I cannot stress this enough, guys. It's very good, and I think you'll really enjoy it. All right. Next up is Red Hood the Hill number 3. This one, this is another story that I didn't know was coming. I don't keep up with comic news like I should because I'm busy reading 50 comics a week. So I miss a lot of announcements, but this one, I was like, well, it's Jason Todd. I love Jason Todd. I'm going to pick it up because it's Jason Todd. That's just the simple matter of it. And I'm really glad I did because this has been a really interesting story from his perspective. Written by Sean Martinborough, art by Tony Akins, led by Matt Herms and led by Troy Pateri. Him and this like makeshift group of vigilantes defending the Hill area of Gotham has been really interesting. And I think there's like an active, I don't think there's been like something stated, but there seems to be like this specific action to separate Gotham up amongst the Bat family. I know when Tim had his solo book, it was on the docks, you know, he's on the docks and, you know, Catwoman has the alley. Like there's like lots of stuff that they all have different areas. Right. And so I think they're like, okay, we'll put Jason in the Hill. And I do think it's really cool. And I like the ground levelness of it all. Jason is a very ground level hero. And also there's a lot of gray in this, which I think is very great for Jason. This issue is kind of a big turnaround because we got introduced to this group of vigilantes. And there's a pretty heavy strike against them. We're going to see what's going to happen. But definitely got me worried about some of the characters that I've been really enjoying to read. So very good. Lots of great drama. Introducing a couple really new characters that I really like and I hope stick around. So big thumbs up for me for the Red Hood, The Hill, number 3. After that is my favorite actual Batman book, Batman and Robin, number 8. I love this book because Damian is my favorite Robin. Fight me. And the dynamic between them is so good. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Nicholas Esmeja, colored by Rex Locus, and letter by Steve Wands. I love this because we finally get the reunion, okay? And I absolutely love seeing Robin with his girl because I loved that Robin book, and it did not... I felt it ended way too early, and I wanted to see more of Robin and Flatline. And now we're getting in this book, which I think is great. I do like the two Batman and Robin have two separate stories in this one, with Robin teaming up with Flatline to work against quote her sister, whereas Batman is, you know, addressing the Man Bat problem and teaming up with all people Shush, which I think is really cool. We also get a pretty big, I wouldn't even say tease, like pretty much a confirmation of who Shush actually is. And I thought that was really cool. So big thumbs up. Really loving this book. And I honestly, the art does change from time to time. Like artists switch out between issues, but it's seamless to me. I really enjoy it. I don't even notice, to be honest. So very good book. And final DC book. Outsiders number 6. Okay, so here's the thing, right? They asked us not to talk about spoilers when we talk about this online. And that's one of the reasons I waited so long to record this episode, because I was like, I don't want to spoil it. I'm going to be spoiler light here. This is the ending of the run. I'll start there. Written by Jackson Lansing and Colin Kelly. Art by Robert Carey. Colors by Valentina Tadeo. Letter by Tom Napolitano. I will say, if you are a lore monger, if you like comic book lore, if you like to dive into it, this is a book for you. I think you'll really, really like it. And I also think if you are a fan of Drummer and the source of where Drummer comes from, this is a must read because it sets up the next book that I can't spoil for you, but is so promising. And I need to talk to Case Aiken about this because he will be so excited too. I'm very excited. It's so cool. If you want to talk more about it, DM me on Twitter. I'll give you my Twitter at the end of the episode. But yeah, big thumbs up. Holy crap, Outsiders, every issue hit, guys. This is one of the best books of the year. Definitely going to be nominated for me by the end of the year. Not even a question. So definitely pick it up. All right. That's all my DC books. Let's talk Marvel. First up, let's start Star Wars. Star Wars The High Republic, number 6. I really liked this one because we got to cut back to Jeddah, one of my favorite little like side stories in this whole High Republic run. Written by Kevin Scott, art by Jim Towey and Laura Braga, color by Jim Campbell, and letter by Ariana Mayer. So we get to check in with some friends and some old friends, and I really like it. I thought it was cool. It's a world I really enjoyed the story of, and I'm really happy to come back to it. There's also some personal developments between a couple of the characters that I think is adorable, and I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, I love this addition to the current High Republic story. It adds a different layer, and it makes me wonder, where are we building to? What's going to happen here? And like, there's a concept here based, okay, I'll give a bit of a spoiler. There's a concept of if a dark artifact, a Sith artifact essentially, is used in the service of good, can it be controlled? Is that an okay thing? And it's a really great question within the philosophy of Star Wars. And I think it's addressed very well in this issue. And it's something I would love to see a rational discussion about amongst Star Wars fans. And we all know that Star Wars fans are rational when they discuss things. So I don't know if I want to interact with that, actually. So very cool. Really enjoying the High Republic, of course. Next up is The Incredible Hulk, number 11, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson. Art by Danny Earls. Color by Matt Wilson. Letter by Corey Petit. This is part three of the Frozen Charlotte storyline and seems to be the conclusion of at least that portion of it, but we still have some lingering effects. We do find out a bit more about Frozen Charlotte and the origin of the character. Very cool, very like grim and monstrous. Like, again, the focus of this book is the monster inside, and I really think that's really well done. Big knockdown drag out between Hulk and Frozen Charlotte. And in the end, Hulk comes out on top. Of course, Hulk's the strongest there is, right? But he's a little bit of a problem. And it looks like, of course, according to the preview, that he's going to have to call upon one of New Orleans's favorite heroes. I'm not going to tell you which one, but let's just say he might be going to Strange Academy for a reason. So we'll see. I love it. I would love to see him in Strange Academy around the others, like Gus. That would be really fun. I think that'd be great. I don't know if they're going to go that far. It's a pretty grim book, so I don't know if they want to make a joke out of it. But we'll see. Very cool. Next up, oh my gosh, guys, this is almost my book of the week. Fantastic Four, number 19. It was so close to my book of the week. This book is so good. I like how the creative team started off with a big arc, and they told this arc of the kids going missing, the Fantastic Four on the run, and they told that for a while, and it was really, really great. And now we're kind of at a period where it's like, okay, things are okay. There's not a big arc going on. Let's tell some wacky solo stories. This is one of them. Written by Ryan North. Art by Carlos Gomez. Color by Jesus Berdoff. And letter by Joe Caramagna. Now, I'm going to give a quick forewarning. I'm a huge detective noir fan. I love noir. It's probably my favorite style of writing. It's up there. It's definitely up there. And I think that it's fun to write. Like, I've written some noir, and it's great to be a little over the top. It's great to be a little too dramatic, which noir very much accepts. And this is the Fantastic Four shifted into an alternate universe where it's a detective noir starring Alicia Masters. I loved this. I want a miniseries of just this world. I want Alicia Masters and Ben Grimm solving mysteries in this world. Like, there's so many things you could do with this. Tons of cameos in this issue. Every major Fantastic Four character makes an appearance. I loved it. I thought it was so cool. Really creative. Beautiful, too. The art is amazing. I want this. Give me more of this. I love Fantastic Four, but I want more of this as well. So, big thumbs up. Pick this up. I will say this. If you're around for Civil War, the comic event, not the separation of North America. If you're around for Civil War, you might remember there was an issue of Fantastic Four where Thing leaves the country and joins a French version of the Avengers. And it was just this one shot that was a lot of fun in this like ocean of grimness that is Civil War. That's one of my favorite issues ever. And this issue reminds me of it. I love it. Pick it up. It's so good. All right, next up is Symbiote Spider-Man 2099, number 2. Okay, so this one's written by Peter David, art by Roger Antonio, color by Sebastian Chang, and letter by Travis Lanham. I really like this issue. I don't have a lot to say, though, because there's only like a little bit of progression. It just sets up a lot of really good stuff. But Miguel, of course, being infected by a symbiote and running into the Venom symbiote and having this like pull towards him, like his brother... symbiote, while his own parents or his mother's life is on the line, I should say. And it's just like, it's really cool. I really like the angst of it. I'm a big fan of Miguel. Probably my favorite Spider-Man character other than Gwen. I've always thought 2099's art was really cool. I loved the original run. I was the perfect age for that book when it came out. So I really like this. And I like that we're getting all these minis of 2099 back to back to back to back. It's been a lot of fun. So big developments in this one. Not going to talk too much about it, but you should definitely pick it up. Next up is Edge of Spider-Verse number 3, which introduces Star Spider. Okay, written by Justina Ireland. Second story is written by Steve Fox. Art by Pete Woods and then Kay Zama. And colors by Antonio Fabella in the second one. Letters by both is Joe Caramagna. Star Spider is the coolest. Like, I love this story. This is, like, one of the things I love about the Spider-Verse anthology books we're doing is we're getting to meet all these wacky spiders that they can just make up, throw out there, and see what sticks. And this is one that should stick because not only is the character really cool, the hook is really great. With humanity being on a sort of arc and placing that in the Spider-Verse, I think that's really interesting. I think it's a very well-told story. I think the version of Harry Osborn is really cool. I think it's a good idea, Harry in quotes. There's a lot that could happen here. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of spider stories you can tell in this setting that you can't tell in others. So big thumbs up for me on that one. The backup story is featuring Webweaver, and I love Webweaver. It is kind of like focusing on the relationship of Webweaver with their version of Pete, and I think that's a lot of fun, like their friendship. Very, very cool. So, yeah, good stuff. That being said, that's the end of that book. Let's talk about Amazing Spider-Man number 47, my last Spidey book. I love this book, guys. Written by Zeb Wells. Art by Todd Knock. Colors by Sonia Obuck. And letter by Joe Caramagna. So this brings back probably my MVP or my rookie of the year last year, which is Hallow's Eve. I love the character design. It's just so great. We bring Hallow's Eve. We reunite her with Chasm. And I just think it's so cool. And this is a really, really great arc. It contains a lot of the stuff you really will love about a Spider-Man story, including Spidey on a blind date that isn't going great. It also has this great line that I absolutely love during the date where he says, like, I'm sorry, I've never been fantastic with stuff, but lately I've felt especially incompetent. And she's like, well, dating's supposed to be hard. It can be kind of off-putting if someone's too good at it. And he goes, well, this is your lucky day. And I'm like, yes. That's my boy. That's such a good line. I wish I came up with it. I'm going to steal it. I'm not. Data Girl doesn't read comics, but I really like it. I thought it was really cool. I love, again, bringing back Chasm, bringing back Eve. I think they're just really fun characters that I really, really like. And where we're going to go with it, what's going to happen here, and what are they doing with Queen Goblin? That's a really good question. So big thumbs up. All right, now let's talk about my way too large stack of X-Men books. X-Men 97, number 2. I'll be quick with this one. Written by Steve Fox, art by Salva Espin, color by Matt Meehan, letter by Joe Sabino. We, of course, are checking in with the 97 version of these X-Men characters, the ones that the cartoon's based on. I have not been able to watch the cartoon yet. We are still watching Fallout. Once we finish that, we'll be watching the X-Men cartoon. I've been thoroughly spoiled thanks to the internet, but it looks great. This issue is really cool because it is Sinister's forces, including the Marauders, attacking the X-Men in different locations, but in most cases, just not really understanding who they're fucking with, basically. And I really like that. Get to kind of showcase these characters again after a long time away. Really good. Really, really enjoying it. A lot of fun. And we'll see. Next up, Ultimate X-Men number 2. This one, of course, is written and drawn by Peach Momoko with script adaptation by Zach Davison and letters by Travis Lanham. One of the things I love about when Peach Momoko gets her hands on a property like, say, X-Men, is the story doesn't feel like the story is rushed, but it also doesn't feel like it's too slow. It goes at a really good pace, a very interesting pace to tell the story. And the way the panels are designed, it's a very peaceful story, but with levels of creepiness sometimes. And I think it's really cool. We get an introduction of a new character and a new friend for Armor, and they have something in common. They both have powers, and what is this going to mean? And again, this is Ultimate X-Men, so this isn't Ultimate Mutants in Japan. So where are we going to go from here? I think it's really interesting. I also think I might have a pretty good idea of who the bad guy here is. But it's also really super creepy and dark, grim, really grim. It actually, I really like it. And I really like this book. I love everything Peach Momoko does, always have. But yeah, I'm very curious to see where we're going to go from here. What's going to be the end result and if it's going to tie in with the others and where we're going to go. So check it out. All right. Weapon X-Men number 2. This one is written by Christos Gage, art by Yildiray Senar, colored by Nolan Woodard, and letter by Clayton Cowles. So this all Wolverine team with this version of Jean Grey goes back to the Jean's home planet, home reality. And I really liked this. I thought it was really cool because we have the Earth X Wolverine, and this issue is kind of about him and how or why this Logan specifically is here, right? Like, why is he the one here? Why does Jean want him here? What's his purpose? He doesn't seem like he's bringing anything to the table the others don't. And we get an idea of why he's here. And I think that's really cool. I think it's very affirming for the character. And as someone who was kind of like, are they going to kill him? Is that why he's here? Just to die? I think he has a much bigger purpose and a much more interesting role to play. So very good in that part. I really like this version of the world with all the different characters and how they ended up. I thought that was really cool too. So very good. Really enjoying that book. And now we go to the mainline X-Men books. I'm going to start with Invincible Iron Man, which is not an X-Men book, but yes, it is. Written by Gary Duggan, art by Pat Zercher, colored by Brian Valenz, and lettered by Joe Caramagna. This is just a straight up Tony versus Fei Long brawl, with Tony having some hallucinations and the boys like just throwing down. It's really great. Tony trying to, you know, stay up long enough to stop the Sentinels. And then he gets a little backup. And I just love the irony of this, that it's Magneto. Because Magneto's back, right? And the very first thing we see him do is help Iron Man, of all people. When we talk about the Magneto book in a moment, it's really interesting to see that. Also, like, how great is it that Tony's like kind of an X-Man now? And he's like, oh shit, you guys have a lot of resources. Like, I really like him being like, holy shit, we really underestimated the X-Men. I think that's really cool. And I cannot wait to see Tony and Magneto team up and just wreck some Sentinels. It's going to be great. Next up is Miss Marvel Mutant Menace number 2. I love that this book is in continuity with everything else going on, but it is kind of like a fun break in the middle of it. Written by Iman Vellani and Sabir Prezada, colored by Scott Godlewski, colored by Eric Arcinega, and lettered by Joe Caramagna. This features a team up between Miss Marvel and Leela Cheney. And it also features Mojo World, so it's like kind of all my boxes from when I was a little kid. I love a lot of this, and it's just fun. I like that Kamala gets a chance to kind of be goofy and like have a lot of fun in this issue. I think the Mojo World like thing, even though there's looming death hanging over your head, it's also something we don't take seriously a lot, which I think is good. X-Babies, for God's sakes. But I loved this book. I thought it was really fun. I thought, again, as a music podcaster, just having something about music is really good. And checking in with Leela Cheney, I just love bringing that back. So big thumbs up. Love this book. Probably my X-Men book of the week. Probably, yeah. All right, next up, Resurrection of Magneto, number 4. Okay, I teased it a bit earlier. Written by Al Ewing, art by Luciano Vecchio, colored by Dave Curiel and Jesus Bertov, and lettered by Joe Sabino. So after all that, Storm and Magneto are back. They're back in reality. They're back to life. And the very first thing to do is take the fight to Orcus, which is great. It's a really great fight scene. It's really good because it's about, you know, stopping Orcus, freeing these mutants and such. And Max, Magneto, deciding who he is now. Like, he's been so many different Magnetos. He's been the teacher. He's been the terrorist. He's been a lot of things. So who is he going to be with this second chance in life? And this is a really great one issue like tale to kind of get us in the right headspace as to what to expect from him from here. I loved this book. I thought it was really cool. I love diving into his head. And I think too often when we dive into Magneto's head, we're diving into his head through Professor X. You know what I mean? This isn't that. This is just, you know, dialogue with himself, a monologue with himself, I should say. And I think it's really well done. I really, really enjoyed it. This has been a really cool mini, and I'm so glad Magnus is back, to be honest with you. Final issue is Wolverine number 47, which is Sabretooth War Part 7. This one is written by Victor Laval and Benjamin Percy, art by Jeff Shaw, color by Alex Sinclair, letter by Corey Petit. This is cool. It's really weird because, like, this felt like a final issue, or maybe like one issue left, but there's three issues left. And we do get to see kind of, for presumably, Victor get his reward, get his just desserts, you know, his punishment for what he's done. And I really like it. It's very good. I've made it clear that I'm not really big on the straight up gore and violence, which it's kind of less of that now than it was at the beginning of the series. But there's three issues left. What's going to happen? It can't leave my head, but it's really, really good. Check it out. So that should be it. Those are the issues that I had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Hostway at Hostway Reads Hostway. You can find the show itself at WHI Podcast on Twitter. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at that place, because that is the best way to keep up with everything we do. You'll get an announcement whenever a new episode is out. You'll get timestamps for each publisher and a list of every issue that we reviewed. Also, check out our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. That is our musical show where we talk about different topics. The most recent episode has been put on hold because up first I had a big head cold, and then my co-host Amanda had a big head cold she's still suffering from. So once we get back to where we can talk again, we will definitely be back with you. But follow us in the meantime at Jukebox Vertigo. Also, follow our network, Certain POV, at certainpov.com. You can follow them on Twitter at certainpovmedia. It's a great place to find your next favorite podcast. I know I did. And you can join the Discord. I know everybody's like, oh, I'm in 100 Discords. Not like this Discord. This is the nerdiest Discord and the most friendly Discord you'll ever be a part of. I did not use Discord on a regular basis. I hated Discord until I joined Certain POV. And now I'm sharing songs of the day. We're taking pictures of our food. It's amazing. It's so much fun. And we're basic, I know. And also, come talk about the new Taylor Swift album. I know some of us want to talk about it. So, yeah. Don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures. And we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe. Read more comics.
Video games are a unique medium.
They can tell stories.
Immerse us in strange, fantastic worlds.
Blur the very boundaries of our reality.
But at the end of the day, video games are fun, whatever fun is to you.
I'm Jeff Moonen.
And I am Matt, a.k.a. Stormageddon.
And on Fun and Games, we talk about the history, trends, and community of video games.
It's a celebration of all the games we play and all the fun we find within them.
And there's so many more games out there. So we hope you'll share in that conversation with us.
Fun and Games podcast with Matt and Jeff. Find us on certainpov.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And happy gaming.